Welcome to Westgate Messages Plus, where we share our Sunday messages and bonus content. We hope you enjoy this deeper dive into God's Word and how it transforms our everyday lives. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Well, welcome. This is Kevin Meyer, lead pastor at Westgate Church, and we do these message pluses as a way of going deeper on a subject that I only touch maybe upon a little bit in a message of, you know, one of those 20-minute messages that I give. You just can't get into all of what you have to say. It's kind of a joke. No one laughs.
And are you suggesting for a second that your messages are only 20 minutes?
That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, okay, well, there you go. That's what I just wanted to make sure. You're just getting warmed
no,
up at 20
I know,
minutes.
No, so what you hear here is Peter Kapsner, and he is a regular teacher at Westgate and does a whole lot of other stuff. We're actually recording in the plush Kapsner Studios.
Palatial Estate. Yeah, I call it the Palatial Estate. Actually.
Peter, anything you want to just say who you are in a brief introductory way?
Just long-time friend and been a part of Westgate in so many different ways over all these years and do some teaching, obviously, at Northwestern and Bethel, been a part of radio stuff, all of that.
Yep.
So blah, blah, blah. But I think both you and I are far more interested in the people that are going to be joining us.
Exactly. I'm excited to have Doreen Henderson and also Mike Snuffer here. We were talking to them about forgiveness specifically because they have a book published this April, which will be coming out, and we're excited about it. I've got my copy right here, Forgiveness, A Surprising Way Forward, and the authors are Mark Henderson and Michael Snuffer, and we have Doreen here. And so, Doreen, I'm going to turn to you first. Tell us why you're here sharing in this book. And about it.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here in the Palatial Estate. It's absolutely gorgeous and a wonderful honor to be here. Mark Henderson was my husband. We were married for over 20 years, and he got involved in the counseling ministry, and he was very active and on staff at Westgate as well. And being married to him, I also got involved in counseling, and we learned a lot about forgiveness in a lot of ways, which we'll talk about. So. Yeah. He has since passed, and we'll get into that here, but I'm representing Mark
great.
Today.
And then we've got Mike. So, Mike, why don't you tell us a little bit, Mike Snuffer, about yourself and the book.
Yeah, great. Yeah, and thanks for having me here, too. My wife and I have been going to Westgate since, I think, 95 or something like that, many years, which just tells you how old I am. But
we were part of the initial young adults group at that time.
We were
the initial one, but that's when we, for all those years ago, we are no longer part of the young adults group.
Very good memory.
Yeah, indeed.
Yes, indeed. So, yeah, but we kind of got involved in counseling about 10 years ago through Mark. And my wife and I, Mary, we help with the counseling ministry. We counsel a lot of folks, whether it's marriage counseling or individual counseling, and have been really blessed to be part of that ministry.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm thrilled you guys are here, and I want to move into this topic of forgiveness because it is, I think, one of the most elemental, basic realities of the Christian faith, which it centers on the cross and centers on forgiveness. And so, there are a number of books out on forgiveness. And so tell me, if you would, what distinguishes you in this book, or what is it that kind of stands out and you go, this is something we think is really important?
Yeah, we've tried to write a book that brings new information to the table, right? And so I think that there's just a lot of confusion around forgiveness, and maybe some of the other books address that well. But what we've really tried to focus on is some real practical how-tos to practice forgiveness. We certainly talk about the whys and the whats, but really what we want to give people is the opportunity to walk away and put it into practice in their own lives.
Okay. Well, and that is, I think, a distinction that we'll find in a lot of books. A lot of books will actually go through all the, this is why you should, and give you a number of other rationales for why you should do it. But I would imagine in counseling, they're not so concerned about the rationales as much as they are, how is this going to affect my relationship, my life, my experience?
Yeah, and when people, you know, if you give folks all the whys and that, it's very inspirational. People agree, but it's also kind of confusing and discouraging.
Yeah,
because you know, 3 weeks later, they're like, "Well, I know I should be doing this, and I think I've been trying to practice it, but they have no way to do it." And so, we want to send folks home with a very concrete step-by-step way that they can find their way to the freedom that God offers.
When you guys are doing counseling, can you tell pretty quickly upon arrival from people coming in, whether it's a married couple or an individual, if there's something about the way they carry themselves, how they talk, how they act, where maybe they are, as Michael, you just suggested, they're trying to sort out how to do forgiveness, but it's kind of not working for them.
Yes. And so I'll say yes for sure. And I'm going to turn it to Mike here in a second, but it's certain words, certain actions, the feelings that they start portraying. They don't actually know sometimes that that's where they're stuck. They don't know that a lack of forgiveness is where they're stuck. And so the beauty is helping them get there. And I'll let Mike comment more on
that. Yeah, and I would even expand on that. I say most people don't know because, you know, the time that it takes to go from being hurt to having it have a huge impact on your life, that can be months, it can be years by the time it's really ruining your life. And so by the time you're in the backwash of all that, folks don't know. And part of it may be strange gifts that God's given us of discernment and things like that. But yeah, it pops out pretty quickly.
Yeah, I know for me, and you sent me a copy of the book before it was getting published to look through it. And I think among the many things that really stood out to me, and there was a number just even in my own journey that I was like, oh boy, I haven't ever really dealt with it on this level. And I think maybe one of the barriers is that we know theologically we're supposed to forgive. And so we say these words, I forgive you, because we know that we should. But I'm not sure that, at least from my journey, that forgiveness was not embodied in any meaningful way in my life. Right. I wasn't experiencing it somehow. So I said the words, I even meant the words.
Right.
But somehow I was still stuck in the midst of some things.
Yeah, and it's a phrase, interestingly enough, you won't find anywhere in the scriptures that somebody tells somebody, I forgive you. But it's so ingrained in our way of thinking about forgiveness, right? And so, you know, forgiveness isn't fundamentally a transaction between me and another person. It's fundamentally a transaction between me and God. And so, so there's a lot of confusion around that. And it leaves people stuck, unfortunately.
I was going to say, I have found that as well in counseling. But also, we have a ministry at church called Westgate Prayer, the prayer ministry that we have there. And we will find, there's three things basically we are doing. One is around forgiveness. One is around believing truth versus lies, and the other is hearing the voice of God. But we invariably find that people don't understand forgiveness. They're not even aware of it until we ask them to pray and listen to the Spirit and see if there's something there. And I think it's because, as Scripture says, you know, the roots of bitterness. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people cut off the plant of behavior.
Yes.
And then what happens is that just continues to grow down inside and destroys not only themselves, but I think others and that relationship that they want to treasure, or it could be they don't want anything to do with it as well.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, we call it in the book, we call it a game of whack-a-mole, where you're just trying to deal with all these character issues and, you know, you're dealing with my anger and then I'm dealing with gossip and then I'm dealing with the way I treat people. And then all of a sudden the anger comes back and you're like, I thought I dealt with this. And so it's very discouraging to folks and very frustrating if we can't learn that this root of bitterness, as you said, is living underneath and kind of driving us.
So if somebody first comes aware to the idea that maybe they're dealing with sort of the stuckness in forgiveness, where again, good intentions, they really meant to forgive, but somehow they're stuck in it, what are some of the first one or two things that you start counseling them in?
Yeah, I mean, you know, first we want to help people understand what forgiveness is. And so we'll often spend 20, 30 minutes just describing forgiveness, the kinds of false forgivenesses that people believe. You know, Satan is a master deceiver. You know, the scriptures say he comes as an angel of light.
Yes.
And his deceits look like light. Jesus said, you know, be careful that the light that is within you is not darkness, right? And that's what Satan does, is he'll present a form of forgiveness that looks beautiful, it looks godly, and it contains mostly truth, but the little bit that's false ends up keeping us stuck. And so helping people understand maybe where those places are where they think they've practiced forgiveness, but it wasn't actually forgiveness. And
you have some stories in the book about that too. Can you think of one of them, for even from your counseling time, about how that ends up looking in somebody's life? Because the stories in your book, man, they're pretty raw. Yeah. I've got to say, you are not messing around in the stories that you told. And I think a lot, and I said this to you after I read it, I think a lot of people can find themselves in the rawness of the story. So when you talk about somebody who maybe is entering into a twisted kind of forgiveness, you have some stories about some of that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because one of the things about being in counseling is God gives us these weird gifts where, you know, Mary and Doreen and I, we find joy in getting into the raw stories with people.
That's true.
I run from the raw.
I mean, normal people do that, right?
Yeah, right.
And so they feel less raw to me. And multiple editors pointed that out to us. Maybe that's a little too raw at times, but there are real stories, right, of real people. We've changed the names and all that, but it's super common. And I'm sorry, I forgot the question. What kind of story?
Maybe you have it too. Just an actual example of how this plays out.
Well, I was going to tell Mike tell everyone, our listeners, one of the greatest ways we see it, and it's not great, but is injustice. There's this justice piece that comes in, and it's like, well, they did this, I'm doing this. And you somehow, Satan weaves that beautiful web that he does, and it creates, right, and I'm okay doing it because this has been done to me. And that festers, creates a bitterness, and that's a lot what we see. So if there's an example you wanted to share around that one, I feel that's so common.
Yeah, people feel like forgiveness isn't fair, right? And so I'm struggling to think of an exact example, so I'll just make one up.
Yeah, no, but
somebody comes in and they say, how am I supposed to forgive my ex-husband? Am I supposed to just let him get away with all this horrible stuff he did? You know, maybe he drank and maybe he beat me and he beat the kids. Like, these are real stories we deal with, right? And so am I just supposed to let him get away with everything that he did? And the answer is no. That's not forgiveness.
Right.
Forgiveness is not that kind of injustice. We serve a just God who cares about you and cares about making all these things right.
Right.
And boy, when people hear that, you can just see the freedom of, oh, maybe I can be obedient in forgiveness, right, and not kind of offend this sense of justice that really God's given us, right? That we want to see justice.
Well, I think it's interesting you say that because we do need to get into, in a sense, a bit more of what forgiveness is, because people will also have this, I think, misconstrued idea that I find so often that forgiveness means then we just, everything goes back to the way it was, kind of a thing. And I often, when people will say that, like, okay, I've forgiven, and so now the relationship is restored and we go back, and yet the Bible's pretty clear that forgiveness is one thing, the reconciliation aspect of it is a different thing, or the restoration of that relationship. I just always look at the story of David. Here's David, and Saul is slinging spears at him. David knows, he's been told that he's going to be the next king, and he doesn't, and I think in his mind, know any other path to get there than up through Saul. Until one day Saul's son, Jonathan, comes to him and goes, you're going to die if you don't get out of there.
Right.
Right? And so David runs, and I think part of his fear is, I'm never going to be king. He runs, he gets out there, and twice Saul comes to him and has this incredible sense of apology. I'm so sorry, please come back. And David both times says no.
Right.
And it wasn't that he hadn't forgiven.
Right.
It was that he had not, the character of Saul and the ability to trust that character wasn't in place yet. And so that's an aspect that takes place after forgiveness that, or is different than forgiveness. Exactly. And maybe you want to share that.
No, I think that's dead on. I didn't even look at the life of Jesus, right? When did Jesus reconcile with the Pharisees? When did he reconcile with Judas? He never could, right? And the scriptures are clear. Whenever it's possible, as much as it depends on you, live at peace with all men, because God knows, you know, it's not wise to live at peace with everybody, to try to reconcile with people who are just going to hurt you again.
Right.
Right. And so this idea of boundaries and protecting ourselves while having the freedom to forgive those offenses, right? Because forgiveness is between me and God, and letting God be responsible for these offenses gives me the freedom to live free, yet proceed with wisdom in the relationship.
So there's so much in there, and it goes back to what Doreen said. The justice piece in that sense is God. Forgiveness is the gift you give me. It allows me to, in a sense, live in freedom, knowing that you're the one who avenges. You're the one who takes care of what needs to be taken care of with regard to justice.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I think about the workplace here.
Mm.
Because you have that one person, almost everyone does, right, that is so challenging to work with. And how do you get the freedom and the peace necessary to be, to in boundaries, to right. say, how do I get there? And what are those steps I need to take where you could practice them quite frequently every week, where you're just giving it up to God, but the peace you'll get at the end and be able to see a little more clearly through the trees, to be able to say, oh my goodness, this is wonderful. I don't control this whole situation. I'm going to control what I can. I'm going to make the decisions I can. They always do this. They're always doing this for themselves. They're always looking out for them. They're not looking out for the bigger picture, would be something that I hear a lot in my office every day. And if you can sit back and say, what can I control?
Yeah.
And continue to forgive that person, whether it's sometimes it is not even they're doing it purposefully. They have a whole nother intent. They have a whole nother thought process, and it's really not what you're thinking. And so I take us on a little tangent there, but it all circles back to the justice, but also the peace you get through the process that's in the book.
And I think that's the practice process is really important, because there is a, and we talk about it, there's a step you have to take. There's a first time where you forgive, and I want you to explain that, but there's a process of doing it again and again. I mean, it could be a daily thing where you're re-emphasizing a decision you already made, but you may have some other thoughts on that. So tell me what your thoughts are.
No, I think that's true. I think, you know, the verse that comes to mind is the 70 times 7 or 77, depending on the translation you read, right?
And I figured out if I could just forgive somebody 490 times, and I've been done and dusted. Done and I never have to do it again. Exactly.
Well, and I used to think, I hated that verse. I'm going to be honest. I hated it because it just was a standard I knew I couldn't achieve.
Mm.
You know, what God showed me is that there was just a fundamental misunderstanding there. God, it wasn't about some standard that God wanted me to achieve. God just wants me to be free. He wants me, you know, if somebody offends me 77 times, do I have to start carrying it the 77th time? Like, now is it my responsibility to carry it? He doesn't care how many times I forgive for, like, achieving his, you know, level of godliness. He just doesn't want me to have to carry it, and he's capable and willing to carry it for me.
Forgiveness is then is letting go and letting God take care of it.
Yes.
And then gives you the freedom not to be tied to that event or past hurt or anything in that sense.
Exactly. And the miraculous part of that is, and we see this over and over, God just frees people from the emotion of the situation when they practice forgiveness. I'm sure you've seen that, Kevin. And we were meeting with somebody a couple weeks ago, and she started the conversation by saying, you helped my husband with this forgiveness problem, but you're not going to be able— she didn't really say it exactly like this, but the implication was, you're not going to be able to help me because I watched somebody else get hurt, my loved one get hurt, and so that's going to be too much. And the fun thing was, 45 minutes later, we finished the process, and I said, so think about that situation, you know, and she was like weeping as she's explaining all this, right? Because it was really heavy what she was carrying. 45 minutes later, I said, so how does it feel now? And she's like, almost like, what do you mean? How does it feel?
Wow.
You know, she couldn't even process that there was supposed to be a feeling associated with the story. That's how free she was. And so it was really fun.
You said a couple of times, and Kevin, you alluded to it too, and so it has my attention when you say that forgiveness is between you and God in relation to the other person. And I'm just sitting here thinking with the Lord's Prayer in my head, right? We're supposed to forgive one another. And I've always understood that as, in order to practice forgiveness, I'm going sort of horizontal. I'm always going towards that person. But you're talking about some version of forgiveness in which to really forgive the other person, and it involves your relationship with God. I would love for you to just say more about what you mean by that.
Yeah, it's an important distinction.
And it really is. So, it has my attention for sure.
So, you know, God wants us to reconcile with people when we can. There's no question. But there are so many times where that's impossible. You know, we work with people where mom and dad have died, and dad was a real jerk, right? Like, that's an understatement, okay, without going into all the details. But, you know, how are they supposed to forgive the person if they've passed away? So is that person just left to carry all that? Forgiveness affects my relationship laterally with the people around me, but it's really saying, okay, God, I trust you that you're big enough, you're good enough, you're wise enough, you're just enough to take care of the situation. And that's the forgiveness part, is giving that pain, the offenses over to God and saying, okay, God, these are yours. I don't want to carry them anymore.
I think the thing in that too is it's not just, you know, God, you're going to take care of it. I'm going to trust you with that.
Yeah.
There's also a sense where I have found in working with people that they have to invite God into that process, because a lot of times on your own, you don't have that ability in a sense. So like when you go back to that 7 times 70, my understanding of what's going on there is 7 was a number of perfection. 70 is 7 times 10, which was like, basically, we're saying, Jesus, do we need, you know, Jesus, do we need to forgive 7 times as much as I humanly can?
Right.
And he's going, no, you have to forgive as much as God does, which is that 7 times 70. So it's kind of like the humanness. And then he's saying, no, it's got to be like this. And then he gives a story about this humongous debt, right?
Right.
And it's the guy holding on to $5 when they, guys, billions of dollars. And I help people in that process go, this is not about you in relation to that person. You're trusting God at that, but you right now need to invite God's Spirit in you to begin to work this process out. You need to make a decision to forgive, but you're not doing this alone.
Right.
God is in this with you, kind of a thing, and you need to forgive like God would forgive. That's how I sense that.
I love it. I wanted to share something, just bringing it back to, of course, the author, Mark, who's not here, and I'm representing. Mm-hmm. Back when we were dating, so I'm going to storytell for a second here. I told you, don't give me the mic. So back when we were dating in college, I met him in college, there was a person in our family, I'm one of 6 kids, who was just, there were really poor decisions made. And people that were in not good situations, myself being one of them. And some pretty, what I will say, most people would say, unforgivable transgressions occurred. And I was one of those individuals impacted. And Mark knew that. And I remember exactly where I was in a parking lot with him, telling him how awful this person was, likely the person coming into the counselor's office, but here it's my date, you know, my boyfriend. And I'm telling him, you know, it hurt me. And Mark is also someone that led me to the Lord, which is so awesome, and I'm so grateful for, and has really and brought me to Westgate, and where his whole life was there. He's born and raised there, as you know.
Yeah.
Mark was used by God to influence so many people and marriages.
100%. And I just remember him looking over at me in the car and saying, where we always have our best discussions. I feel like the car is like the place where people have those discussions. And we were kind of arguing about it. I'm like, I can't forgive him. I can't forgive him. Like, I can't do it. And he's like, talked about the Lord, talked about how important that is. And it's really not up to this individual. It's up to me. And I can choose, and there was a boundary, but I could choose to say I forgive this person. I'm going to tell you, I think there's so many times where you just say, it's unforgivable, and it's not. And that, I think, is the most important thing. I told this person, I forgive you. I lowered my expectations way low for every time there was an encounter, or a time where I was with this person. And there is a freedom that is so amazing that you get when you forgive and you truly walk through the process and you forgive. And I watch how the freedom I have, and I watch others in the family who have not gone through the process, and the bitterness is there. I can't talk to that person, Doreen. I can't be with that person. I'm not going to go see that person. And it's a very close family member. So that's hard. And I'm grateful for him. He knew so early how to do this, you know, how to, some of the pieces and the steps. But I think if there's anything I want people to understand, no matter what it is, you don't even have to tell the person. It is, to bring it back to what you were saying, it's between you and the Lord. And there's a beautiful freedom there that I have, and I'm able to just move forward. And today, beautiful relationship with this individual. Mm. And I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah. So let me summarize just a couple things here. One is we're making it very clear that forgiveness is between you and God. And like he said to Peter, it's not as much as you humanly can, it's as much as I can, and it's God forgives all. So nobody's unforgivable. And yet at the same time, we in our own selves sometimes don't feel we can do that. So we ask God. And then in that choice of faith to forgive, that's where some of that freedom comes, correct? And then emotional stuff, let's talk about that practice of how you practice this. What does this mean? What does that look like?
Yeah, and we have you know, one of the things that I think people enjoy about the book is we have a very step-by-step process that we talk them through. But in that process, we definitely invite Jesus to be present because, you know, Jesus is the reason we're able to do this. If we think our thing is too big to forgive, let's remember this outrageous thing that Jesus did by dying for this so that we could have this freedom, right? And, it's probably not bigger than, you know, forgiving all the sins of the entire world, which is what Jesus did, right? And so he's inviting him to be part of that process And you know, the way that we do it is we say, hey, notice that Jesus is with you and notice that you give him these things. Notice that he takes them. Notice that he takes them away. He doesn't destroy them, right, but he takes them away to a place where he cares for them because he cares about you and everyone in this situation. And then, be thankful that he has taken it.
Right.
And so it's not a kind of nebulous, yeah, I forgive, whatever that means.
No, right.
It's a very specific transaction that you're doing with God present with you, like you said.
Yeah, real practical steps that you
have. Very much.
Yeah, I was thinking, combined with the story that Doreen told about just starting from this place of, I cannot possibly forgive this person.
Yeah.
This is unforgivable. And it speaks of a heart that maybe is understandably angry. They've been hurt. They've been offended. They've been wronged on some level. And so in taking it to God in the ways that you're describing on this and saying, you know, God, you're going to have to sort of handle and deal with the situation. I trust you to deal with it. I can imagine a scenario for me that I would not then lead to a softer heart towards that person. I might just say, God, you have to deal with it. And I cannot wait until you roll up your sleeves and take a whack at this person on my behalf sort of thing. But Doreen, when you were telling the story, I'm guessing this process you're describing, it does start leading maybe to even a bit of a softer heart towards that person. I'm not saying that it's reconciled. I'm not saying everything's fine. But I would imagine that the heart even grows softer from that place of, I cannot forgive, but I'm going to give it to God and trust God in this process, that maybe something happens in your own heart towards that too.
Yes, and sometimes I think the journey's different for different people. So it can be instant and it's soft and you're good and you can move forward and it's okay, Lord, thank you, you got it, I'm good. And sometimes it takes time. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you're just driving down the road and all of a sudden that hurt gets you. And you came right back to it. I love how you said it. And Mike knows me really well. So there's been times where I've been like, yeah, the Lord will take care of it. Well, I don't know what the Lord was thinking with that person, but he'll take care of her, you know?
Right.
So, and I love that because it's very real what you said, how you know, the Lord will roll up his sleeves. He does take care of it. And he does soften the heart as it goes. But there are individuals over time that have taken me well over a year to move through the process, not to scare the people listening. It's just sometimes when there's been damage done you know, to the individual, that's how they feel, damage done to them and their person over time. It takes time to deal with each of those, and you're not thinking of them right away when you're walking through the process. You're not thinking of it each time. So then, okay, I'm aware, and I'm going to go back, and I'm going to sit with the Lord again, and I'm going to give that item I just thought of that I didn't think of before, and I'm going to give it. And it's so amazing because all of a sudden, like Mike said, you just realize it's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm free.
I think what we get so confused about, or the lies that we believe, is that maturity happens immediately. Forgiveness is a one and done kind of thing. And we're talking about pain. Mm-hmm. So the people who are listening, that some of you are still probably very much in doubt and going, right, because the pain is so deep. Yeah. And the closer relationship or the more vulnerable you've been, the deeper the pain. And I sometimes liken that to what happens in grief, in death.
Yes.
And when you have grief, it's because someone's close to you has left you too early or not in your timing, and there's pain. And it isn't like you go, okay, I'm going to grieve and you're done. It happens over time when incidents occur, things, it's the strangest time. And so also forgiveness is that kind of a approach where you're kind of going, I thought I forgave. I did this thing. I was crying, and then all of a sudden I've got this sense of anger and pain back in me. And I love what Corrie Ten Boom says. That Corrie Ten Boom was, a prisoner, imprisoned in the concentration camp in Nazi Germany. And she would say, forgiveness is like ringing a bell, those old bells that were in a church. And she'd say, the first time you pull it, you don't really hear any gong or anything. And you pull it again, you don't hear anything. And then after a while, there's a momentum and it starts to ring and it starts to ring. And then it really rings. And it's almost like you're hardly pulling at all. And it becomes a part of you. And I think forgiveness has a sense of that practicing pattern of moving into a place where the pain doesn't have the same hurt that it once did. Yet you can share about that. Like, you're losing Mark. I don't know.
Losing Mark was tough. Because what a blessing he was in my life and our kids' lives and all the friends and family at Westgate. So it was a big loss and so early. I had so many thoughts. I couldn't, there's not enough time today for me to go through them all. But as a result of losing Mark early in my life, and I feel very blessed, I really did lean and embrace it. I really did. So grief. You talked about grief. I work with people that lost someone through the Grief Share program at Westgate. Mm-hmm. And when they have a loss or multiple losses on top of, then there's some unforgiveness. Maybe they had a argument with their spouse and then their spouse suddenly died, before they got home from work. And that is a reality. So you're dealing with, you lost somebody suddenly, you didn't get a chance to say goodbye, and then on top of it, you feel bad about, it's a reality in marriage, you're going to have an argument. So, and there, that's podcast too.
Yeah, right.
Our wives went
straight. I don't know.
I don't know what you're talking about, Doreen.
Yeah, you just lost all your credibility, Doreen.
No, I gained it all right there. But it's real and it's raw. And it is time and it takes time. But the number one thing I've learned in grief, and I want to say it was Zig Ziglar said this, I hope I got his name right, but he said, you're not going to grieve if you didn't love someone. And then when you get the pain of something that a relationship that wasn't maybe at its best at the time the loss happened, it makes it even more challenging. And so it'll take time to get through the forgiveness because you got to work through the grief as well.
Right. And that's what I'm saying, that process, pain is pain. You can help kind of define what it is, but it's a process.
Yeah. And one thing I will say is a lot of people, forgiveness takes a long time because they try to do it alone.
Yes.
And so when we try to do forgiveness alone, we get stuck in a bunch of Satan's lies and deceit. We've been talking a lot about the y'all of Ephesians, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, and it definitely applies to forgiveness. And so, folks want to forgive, they try to forgive, and then they get stuck in some little part that they don't even know why they're stuck. But then it takes, the willingness to sit with somebody who's just outside the situation and explain the process you're going through, a lot of times God will use that to reveal where those lies are and help you work through that process.
Yeah, I was, as you were talking about that too, I was just thinking that to do that journey with somebody else would require a fair amount of vulnerability. Mm-hmm. Because if you're talking about needing to forgive someone, you're also then simultaneously talking about the pain that you're carrying
right.
related to it. And I think a fair number of people don't either maybe want to admit that they're pained by something mm-hmm. or feel like they just need to keep a stiff upper lip about it. Or maybe they're embarrassed that they right. that they feel weak that they're in pain about it or something like that.
It so, feels unspiritual.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. to invite somebody else into that, I would imagine once you break the silence with another person about what you're carrying, there's probably a huge relief in that for that person to say, hey, will you help me enter into the forgiveness journey of forgiveness of somebody else? I would think just to carry that burden with somebody else, it would be a massive benefit.
Well, let's talk about that. Yeah, I think the community portion of it is really huge because, Paul, whenever he's writing, he's not writing you singular. He's writing y'all. He's talking to a group of people. And even James, when he talks about, you know, if you're sick, call people, or if you're you've sinned, call people and confess, and that prayer of a righteous person is effective. Why would you say, what does it look like to bring other people into forgiveness that brings about healing?
Well, I'll say one thing, and then Mike, I'm going to let you have the mic here, but I will say that forgiving others sometimes leads to two things. One, you may also need to do some forgiveness for yourself. And then secondly, it forces you to look at maybe, to look in the mirror and say, you know what, Doreen, or you know what, Mike, I should be doing this differently. And this really isn't all about this person. It's how I'm choosing to look at it. And sometimes we're so good and Satan's good at spinning it up for us. And we don't see things as clearly. But when we start working with God and having him help us on it or another person, sometimes they're the reality. And I know that, Mary, your wife, Mike, has been great for me to say, you know, she'll put things forward and say, you know what about this? So I appreciate that. You have to be open to taking the feedback and looking in the mirror yourself, but sometimes you have to do forgiveness for yourself.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I think what that looks like for a lot of people is not finding somebody, but finding somebody trustworthy. Right. There's plenty of people that if you want to share with them, they're just going to hurt you more. Right. They're going to come back and dump shame on you. Like, you shouldn't feel that way, you know, and things like that. So finding somebody who's safe, who's trustworthy. But the result of that is the ability to have somebody just outside of the situation. One of the things about unforgiveness is it really erodes our ability to see God's wisdom. You know, the Bible says, it literally says, if you're not forgiving, you're going to be separated from God, right? And so it really does. It separates us from being able to hear the Spirit in that situation and bring God's wisdom into that situation. And it's why we, you know, we've heard the phrase, he's just a bitter old man, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because people who are in unforgiveness tend to mistreat people. And they're absolutely certain they're the only ones treating people right. That's the irony of being in that situation. But when we bring somebody else into the situation, it gives us the insight of that outside person saying, hey, have you thought of this, as Doreen said?
Well, we've just touched the surface of a number of things that you guys have in this book. And I really want to encourage people because we can talk about this, you can hear this, but I think this will help you look at practical steps to move forward in it. And I really encourage people, if they're really dealing with some large issues around forgiveness, go into it. You know, there's inner healing kind of places, there's counseling, there's opportunities to find people who will walk with you in it, to bring the community aspect into it, I think is incredibly important. You know, you call this book Forgiveness, and then there's a little subtitle, A Surprising Way Forward. What's so surprising about it?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, when
he never told me a great question, Kevin. He just said,
well, you got to ask one. Touche.
You've had lots of great questions, Peter.
now it just feels patronizing.
So when we wrote the book, the first thing we said is nobody's going to read it because nobody thinks that forgiveness is their issue until somebody tells them, right? And right. So we get so far from the pain that causes our stuck places.
Yeah.
You know, we know we're stuck. Like, we're very familiar with the hurt we feel, with the pain we feel, and why do bad things keep happening to me? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, But when people dig into this, I think many will be surprised how God uses it to uncover some things that have been, you know, burdens that we've been carrying, and provide them a way to be free of those burdens.
So I love what you just said because it so resonates what we have learned. I've had, you know, like 1,500 people go through that Gateway Prayer Ministry.
Yeah.
And what we have found is that forgiveness is one of the main issues.
Always.
And most often, they don't even know when they go in.
Right.
But they say this, we're stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens, and usually it's just in the session. It's amazing. And then they'll write back because we ask for, how to go kind of thing. And invariably, they'll say, I had a breakthrough. And it's like they're moving again.
Yeah.
And I think that's the surprise. I think you're talking about, right?
I think that's right. I mean, it is. And it's like miraculous.
Yeah.
Like forgiveness is this miraculously powerful thing that God can just use and does use to bring a kind of healing that's also surprising.
Yeah. One thing I remember is Mark walking up on the stage at Westgate one Sunday, and I love his analogy. He came up with the huge Oakley backpack, the kitchen sink backpack. It was massive. And he had filled that thing. And his analogy was, here's what you're going to do. You're going to keep putting all those things in.
Yeah.
You're going to carry them all around, and you're just going to keep carrying them around, and it gets kind of heavy. So at some point, you might want to offload it and ask God for some help and maybe forgive, because that's typically, and it's surprising how heavy it gets, what a burden it is, and then all the things that physically, spiritually, and mentally start to happen.
Yeah.
Because you're carrying around all this stuff.
Yeah.
And you're not doing any, the weight of it is just immense. And if you can release the weight and give the control to him, it's phenomenal.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'd like to say is, thanks for writing the book.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm really hoping people will read it. And I just want to say, if you're listening and you feel stuck, it could be, this is something between you and the Spirit or with other people. They can help you kind of understand this. It could be you're in a place where you need to forgive and you're not aware of that. So, that's our hope, is that people will experience that surprising way forward because they are learning how to forgive and to walk in that forgiveness. So I want to thank you both, Doreen and Mike, for being a part of this and for investing your life in helping people walk in forgiveness. Thank you for doing that. And Peter, you do ask great questions. I'm really sorry. I'm sure you've got one. Thanks.
I just forgave you just now. So that's worked out brilliant.
That's
worked
out brilliant.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
It's working.
That's
beautiful.
It's already working.
Indeed.
What a way forward.
Indeed.
Hug you across the table.
It's been a delight, right? I mean,
thanks.
This conversation has been a delight. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thanks
and Kevin,
so
anything
much.
Else you want to
that's
say?
That's it. No, so I just, much. I do, I, again, I just say, if you are stuck, go ahead and really press into that because it could be forgiveness.
Love it.